Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Wasn't able to get in via Skype today, so the sound quality may be a little less than normal. But it's good to be back. Again, I've been so overwhelmingly busy in the other aspects of existence that sometimes challenging to get on here and do these shows. One habit that I've developed every morning that's, I just can't tell you how important it is to try to develop a habit like this, is I get up first thing in the morning and read again through the Might of Thoughts. And we'll be talking about that again a little bit today, but I thought I would cover a little bit in Contact Report 544, where Billy talks about the potential collapse of the United States in 2020. And in 1975, when Billy was on the Great Mothership, the player Aaron told him, because of the great contradictions we have in regard to politics, the economy, the decline of our culture, which is very obvious if you listen to music and what passes for entertainment is just shocking. It's actually sometimes painful to watch and listen to some of the things that are going on. Plus the military machinations, and maybe we'll talk a little bit about that today in Contact Report 625. The felonies of our presidents, it just goes on and on and on and on. And the things that are going on in religion and sectarianism also contribute to the potential collapse of the United States in 2020. Now, my personal opinion is we're going to make it past 2020, but what do I know? It's just more being a person that is involved in the system and seeing it go every day, and it seems like we're going to continue, but let's keep an open mind here, though. We have a gigantic mountain of national debt, $16 trillion now. We can't even really pay the interest. So we're in a really strange state. So let me just read a little bit to you from Contact Report 544, and this is Billy. And I also want to cover a few of the other things that are mentioned in this contact report. It was very interesting. Billy says, on the one hand, in 1975, you especially raised the enormous contradictions with regard to politics, the economy, the military machinations, the decline of the culture, as well as the climbing religion and sectarianism and the serious criminal activity, or even felonies of former presidents of the USA. And you said that if there continues to be muddling along in the same and still increasing framework, then the collapse could not be avoided. Now, I don't know what they mean by collapse. Does that mean just anarchy, the government is overthrown? Does that mean a total economic collapse? I don't know. Let me continue here. I have taken good notice of all that, and I can really understand if the result is as you have calculated. Furthermore, back then you said that if the USA collapses, China could molt into the next world power and superpower, which would, however, fundamentally require prior to that China gathers strong allies and around until then. In order to have sufficient influence as a superpower and to be able to even last as such, solely being an economic power, as is the China, which is dependent on the global economy. As you have explained, China is not yet in a position to be a superpower, but then he continues here, but megalomania could lead to catastrophic attempts and worldwide acts of war in order to achieve a superpower position. But if in relation to the USA, the gigantic mountain of national debt of now more than $16 trillion is considered, which can no longer be repaid, and for which the ongoing interest can only hardly or no longer even be peripherally serviced, then even the least intelligent must recognize how it stands with the USA. But indeed, USA, America is not standing alone with that, because one has to only think of Germany, France, England, Spain, Italy, and so forth, which have similar all-around mismanagement and trillion dollars of debt. Now, here's the thing. I mean, who is this debt owed to is the question I have. Who do we have to pay? Is it China? Is it the international banking cartel? Hard for me to say. This whole idea of national debt is strange. Let's continue here. Billy talks about Switzerland and the debt that they have. Also, my homeland, Switzerland, is set to go into debt, even if only hundreds of billions. But even then, this is enough, and no one is there who orders a stop to the terrible trading. But to come back to the USA again, one must consider the entire overarching U.S. management and all the contradictions as well as the failures among U.S. presidents, from which I exclude Barack Obama. Now, this is, again, I have a differing opinion of Barack Obama than the Meyer material does. And the reason I think differently is just I studied his background. I studied Frank Marshall Davis, who were his influences. Let's continue here. However, among all the previous absolute failures and all sorts of things falls outside of the traditional role, then I also see that your probability calculation could be fulfilled. However, certain things also happened under Obama which cannot be seen as right, whereby in this regard I think specifically of the matter of the remote control drones for the killing of terrorists and terrorist suspects. Yes, there's a lot of use of drones today in warfare, and I think in general we have a horrible, ridiculous spending, and now we're building things that don't even really work, like the F-35, and I think the F-22 is only really a marginally successful plane in some aspects, but let me continue here. You have explained in regard to that the whole of the relevant body of thought and action does not find its origin with him, but with those who practically force him to give his orders and signatures according to their will and desire. And I think this could be something that Trump is facing now. The deep state is in control one way or another, I think, and they basically tell the presidents, I think, what to do, and under risk of being killed, most likely. You said that he himself is practically powerless, even if power was formally granted to him, and he is charged that he alone determined over the lethal drone operations and in the respect took the rudder directly for himself, whereby he furthermore is and will continue to be held responsible for the most various military and political machinations, which did not and do not correspond to his ideas. So there's a lot going on behind the scenes, no matter who's the president, whether it's Trump or Obama, evidently. And this is Contact Report 544, so it's probably prior to 2015, so we're going back a ways. I'll continue here. Admittedly, he is a very powerful man, but he is dependent upon his advisors and all those who have the power to divisively advise, influence, steer, and compel him according to their will. These powerful ones are the uppermost of the military, the Department of Defense, the Secret Services, politicians, advisors, confidants, banks, and that's one of the things I wanted to get to, is I think the banks have a huge influence here. The stocks exchange and the machinery, pharmaceutical and armament corporations, and the government elite and religious and sectarian leaders. So all of these influences influence our governments. But if I now consider your probability calculations, I can assume all the more that your calculations can be released when I consider that you explained at the time that the USA inflicts more and more increasingly enormous damage upon its allies in the world, and thereby excites resistance and even hostility towards the USA. And Billy's made many predictions. He talks about two civil wars which will occur in America. I don't know if those occur after this alleged collapse in 2020. We'll have to see. I'm hoping that the U.S. government doesn't collapse. I'm hoping that we continue right on, that there's been enough movement with people picking up Billy's writings like The Might of Thoughts and things like that, that we can have more sanity prevail. But I think from Billy's last movie, he says the United States will be wrecked. Let's continue. In relation to many predictions you have made, I still want to explain that many of them have very often struck me hard, especially also because I have had to be silent and was not permitted to announce any warnings. Actually, I'm now quite happy that you do not make any predictions anymore. That's interesting. Because they were always uncommonly burdensome for me, because I could not do anything to keep the event from becoming reality. Indeed, you have allowed me to undertake an attempt to get in touch with the U.S. government via L period. So maybe L, whoever that is some contact that Billy has with the U.S. government. He was previously employed by the CIA, so maybe Billy knows someone previously employed by the CIA. But the U.S. government via the CIA made unfulfillable demands, which were unfulfillable according to your will, and which is the reason that no positive connection came about. I then received the unfulfillable demands in writing. But you also predicted that, therefore, after the fruitless attempt to contact the U.S. government, I then did not continue to make further efforts in regard to this matter and would not make such efforts again. Moreover, you have also said yourself that the attempt which was carried out was the first and the last, and consequently, in this respect, you will allow nothing further. Therefore, I hold myself to that. But in relation to the predictions, if something of the future particularly interests me, as before, will you give me the facts if I do not publish them? And what will happen if the United States collapses? And Patah responds to this. So just to recap real quick, I guess Billy had some contact with the CIA and was made an attempt to contact someone within the CIA and the U.S. government. And then he got this paper eventually where they were making a whole bunch of demands, probably of the Pleiaren, for the Pleiaren to come forward and reveal themselves publicly. I'm just speculating. But Patas says here, we will continue to give you information if you want it, or if you think it could be necessary to make a prediction publicly, whereby it must then be, however, a question of your own, and only about something very special that no longer falls into the old scope of the predictions. And that which you mentioned with respect to that which I have said in regard to the U.S. President Barack Obama, again, this is an older contact back when Obama was president, corresponds to the facts. He will be blamed for serious things which did not correspond to his own decisions, but which he simply must inevitably endorse, and he will maliciously negatively be blamed for much of what he wants to achieve in the form of positive changes, or that which he has achieved for the direct welfare benefit of the poor segments of the population. By the envious, the power greedy, and the rich, and with evil means and attempts, he will be made again to bring to an end the good that he has achieved. However, that which results if the USA should fall into ruin indicates, and maybe that's what they mean by collapse, that the USA would fall into ruin. Again, the details of which I'm not sure of. Under certain circumstances, a dictatorship and naked Gewalt will rise, and which has already begun to emerge for years, so maybe a dictatorship will start to arise in the U.S. over time. The people of the United States are taken on an ever shorter leash, financially exploited, and everything from which profit can be made is withheld from them, for which primarily the rich and their followers, as well as those elite in the government, are responsible, who only represent their overflowing wealth, their monetary greed, and their absolute personal interests. However, this corresponds exactly to the opposite of Barack Obama's ideas. So maybe this is the good part of the Obama administration, that he did want to share with prosperity with maybe some of the less fortunate people. Let me continue here. As he wants prosperity and the best for the people as well as for his country, and this political and government elite consists of both Republicans as well as Democrats, valuable reforms to the welfare of the population in the country are not sought. Thus, the already profound poverty among the people continues to escalate, while the wealthy ever further enrich themselves so that the social inequity gains ground ever faster. Thus, with the collapse of the USA, only two possibilities can be considered, whereby with the one, it boils down to a dictatorship with evil reprisals and great gewalt, while the other possibility may be a new reconstruction. Now, this is what I think may happen. We may have a new reconstruction of the United States. And I think the beginning of this is already starting. Let me continue. If people who are fundamentally conscious of their responsibilities attain government and really do everything to bring about an effective and valuable new start. But whether this will actually occur is currently extremely questionable, because presently, in a totalitarian manner, everything is directed towards interests which are economic, military power, political, and cultural. Yes, I think that's true. There's a tremendous direction towards the military, towards political things, but I am seeing a trend, a positive trend, so I'm optimistic, as well as towards that which is strict fundamentalist religious sectarian. Well, we're seeing the collapse of religion right now as well. With the charging of Cardinal Pell for decades of child abuse, and Monsignor Luigi Capozzi, who was caught red-handed with his gay cocaine-endorsed cocaine orgy that was occurring right in the Vatican. The corruption is beyond belief. It's gone completely out of control. And anyway, that Monsignor Luigi Capozzi, if you missed any of my earlier shows, he had to be taken to the hospital. He did so much cocaine at this party. This is the second time he had to be taken to the hospital. So let me continue. And based on enormous lies and devious, misanthropic, criminal, and felonious machinations in every imaginable regard. This also means the population of the USA is spied on by secret services. Boy, we've seen that. I think any computer monitor today has a camera that's looking at you. They can turn on your cell phone. You know, I don't like cell phones. I'm only forced to use one because of my job, but otherwise I wouldn't even probably have one. They're probably a good thing to have in terms of if your car breaks down or something like that. But I think, you know, it's just, they're also, for some reason, people are mesmerized by cell phones. I've never had that same fascination. And even severely within the neighborhoods and so forth, in every possible manner being restricted in its freedom. And this is addition to the Gewalt as it emerges in some form or other openly and covertly. Also in relation to China, I must remain with my statements, just as I must concerning the USA as a superpower which spreads worldwide death, ruin, destruction, as well as hatred and other intrigues, whereby the world embracing terrorism is further steadily promoted, with death-bringing, remote-controlled drones Obama fights according to the will of those others who have forced him to do so, and now have pushed all the might and responsibility for that onto him alone. And as to the matter concerning the U.S. government, CIA, and yourself, the following is to say that there was a 92% chance of our prediction being correct and the failure of the attempt to make contact due to the arrogance of the U.S. government and the contacted CIA personnel. However, an 8% possibility remained open that there could have still been a slight success. This is particularly so because agents were lodging in the Brookingwage, and this is a German word, restaurant in Dusnang, and made in contact with L in the center. Oh, that's interesting. Center, I mean, I imagine they're referring to the Semyase Silver Star Center. There was some contact that Billy's group had with the CIA guy who has the first name that begins with L. Anyway, let me continue. And so we assume that, I must confess, we ourselves have thereby attached certain expectations when we allowed you to attempt to make contact with the government of the USA because a slight success could have resulted. This is Patah speaking, I believe. So we allowed you to undertake an attempt whereby it then, however, unfortunately, all proved to be illusory. And it was indeed no more than an attempt. But we also did not want to just pass over the insistence in order that you could see for yourself that an undertaking such as this is very difficult. But the only 8% open possibility that something positive could be achieved. I'm getting a message that some people aren't able to hear the program. I don't doubt it. Hopefully you can hear it now. Let me know. Somebody chat in the chat room if you can hear me. It'll certainly appear on the archive. At least it should. Where were we here? Billy's group tried to contact someone in the CIA, I guess. There was some interaction with this individual. His first name begins with an L. I assume it's his first name. They refer to him as L, period. But there was something that interrupted that, and it didn't really result in anything. Let me continue here. This is Billy. Aha, then you have already, and then you have thereby in a certain way also given me a lesson, which in this regard was certainly good. But against your advice, I then made an effort in the USIA to bring interested American people to their feet in a FIGU group. Now, I guess there's been a FIGU in the U.S. trying to get started, and it's had trouble. There's a couple groups that I'm aware of, and I probably maybe better not say much more than that. I then made an effort in the USA to bring interested people to their feet in a FIGU group, but then which also failed. And indeed, four times up until now, it has unfortunately been proven that most human beings in America do not understand what a democratic stance actually is, and that a FIGU group can only consist and must exist in a democratic manner. Constantly, a ruling, directing, and dictatorial behavior was brought to the fore. But this was and is absolutely unacceptable, for which reason we had the core group dissolve the corresponding USA America groups again. Obviously, it does not appear to be understood that no class differences can be permitted in a FIGU democracy, and that resolutions are not permitted to be made and carried out by individual practitioners of power in a group, rather solely by the majority of the group members. There are no class differences in a democracy because it is determined solely by the mass of the majority. Actually, in the Figu core group, we are still a very big step further because with us, our democracy has elevated such that resolutions are only valid if an absolute unanimity of the core group members is given. Oh, you okay? Let me give you just a second here. I'm going to get a definition for this word just to make sure I think I understand what he's saying here. Agreement by all people involved. Yes, of course. So all the core group members have to agree in Switzerland. I did not know that. Apparently, however, in the USA, as unfortunately also in other countries, the human beings are not clear what democracy actually means, and that a true community can really only exist in peace, freedom, harmony, and equity, equal rights and equal values. Naturally, in the U.S. and in all countries of the world, there are many human beings interested in the teaching of the truth, the teaching of the spirit, and the teaching of the life, that is to say, the spiritual teaching, and who would like to have a Figu group in their own country. But that can effectively only be possible if such a grouping is managed and led in compliance with the Figu democracy. I would also wish that for the USA, even though you are not happy with the lack of understanding of the majority of the American people in regard to their understanding of freedom, peace, harmony, and democracy, but also human beings in the USA can learn, and indeed there is a significant number. Now, this is why I'm optimistic, and this is what Billy's saying here, but also, the human beings in the USA can learn, indeed, there is a significant number who are interested in the teaching and are also making an effort to pay attention to the mission and teaching and live moderately and behaving in compliance with the Figu rules and the creational natural laws, and to thereby get thus aligned group on its feet. But this is unfortunately not easy because my personal and also fellow human and administrative difficulties must be overcome, whereby the personal problems are well the largest and most comprehensive, and indeed specifically in terms of their own proper behavior towards their fellow human beings and accepting a democratic attitude and leadership of the Figu group. Wow. So this is very astounding, and it goes on and talks a little bit longer, and I think it gives a compliment to Michael Horn and talks a little bit about Japan. So this is very interesting. This is Contact Report 544. I recommend that you take another look at it. It's certainly a very, very interesting contact. Let me change gears a little bit, because for some reason I'm impelled and compelled to continue to go through the Mind of Thoughts seemingly unendingly, and it's been very productive in terms of my understanding, and it's a challenge to, I mean, the reading, it's the fun and easy part. The really applying it is a bit of a challenge. And also, I think it's a little bit challenging to keep my notes updated because I get so many new ideas and so many new concepts coming through continually. It is always a challenge, you know. And I guess self-control is always part of the challenge. And I certainly do not always have self-control, let me tell you. But we work towards that, and we work arduously towards that. Let me read something here. This is on page 142 of The Mind of Thoughts. Lower thoughts form lower feelings, lower habits, and lower circumstances, such as alcoholism, hate, affliction, resentment, sorrow, grief, bitterness, errors, of judgment and so forth, and many kinds of suffering. And Billy, and this is one thing I was taking notes on today, he talks about that destructive thoughts can crystallize. What does it mean that your destructive thoughts are crystallizing? Well, that means they're hardening. And your destructive thoughts form into habits. You know, I'm so lucky to develop this habit of reading this book in the morning, every morning. And now it's just something I do automatically. As a matter of fact, I can't really do anything else. It's really strange. But destructive thoughts, they become confusing and exhausting. And if you feel yourself thinking destructive thoughts, if you feel the exhaustion, you'll know you're in destructive thoughts. And changes in your thoughts also affect changes in other people's thoughts. One of the things that I've noticed since I learned six statements. And if you study between page 200 and 230 in this book, it covers really six major ideas: being confident, being optimistic, being relaxed, being cheerful, being enthusiastic, and being thankful. Now, this thing, enthusiasm, is really amazing. If you can generate some enthusiasm, it leads right to happiness. It leads you right to getting to work. And remember that you have creativity. Everyone, every human being has an innate creativity. So when something is a challenge, it's an opportunity at the same time for you to apply your creativity. And let me tell you something else, and this is something you can know things on different levels. Let me put it to you that way. That striving is really the only real happiness. It's the only real satisfaction in life. And that's why there is so much unhappiness, I think, in part, because so many people have traded entertainment for their striving. And so, and you know, fatigue plays a role here, because you know, one thing to do when you do feel fatigue is to meditate. And meditation can be nothing else but laying back in a recliner, closing your eyes, and trying to empty all of your thoughts out. All your thoughts, if you can, just empty them out. Think of a blue sky. Think of a red rose. Think of green hillsides. Think of a yellow sun, you know, those kinds of things. Relax, let everything go. And if you're overwhelmed and you feel like you just can't strive anymore, do that. And another trick that I've learned is to break up your day into segments. You know, maybe you only strive for 15 minutes on something, and then take a 15-minute break. So, you know, divide your time that way. So the point is that you want to maintain harmony, because the harmony that you have will generate the enthusiasm. Also, another idea, and this comes from page 142, which I happen to be on right now, is that constructive thoughts generate a calmness. So, let me just read that. Accordingly, beautiful, good, and positive thoughts of every kind form habits and circumstances, as well as convictions and experiences worth living, of grace and kindness, of cheerfulness, of moderateness, modesty, and self-control. But constructive thoughts also generate and strengthen the human being's calmness, love, peace, and effective courage, as well as his or her reliability and ability to make decisions. So constructive thoughts lead to calmness. And the next thing Billy talks about for that is love. So I've always wondered why I was drawn to all of his information that talks about the love of creation. Well, the reason is because it produced a calmness in me. And this is something that evidently I needed. So when passages say love is the highest principle in all creation, and through it everything exists in absolute logic, every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love, and that the incredible splendor of nature is the visible expression of the love of creation. These are constructive thoughts which generate a calmness, and that calmness is extremely needed today, because your emotions can create thoughts and feelings. And emotions are a lot like reflexes, and reflexes in the sense when that doctor takes that little mallet and hits below your kneecap and you kick. And you remember when you were a kid and that was done when you went to the doctor's office? That's kind of like the way emotions are. They just sometimes, no matter how much work you've done to try to remain neutral. Now think about that. I mean, that's what we're really trying to do here, is remain neutral, neutral positive about everything. Every once in a while, those emotions reflexively and spontaneously just come forward. And I think they exist for self-protection, for our own survival. You know, when we were living in more primitive times, where we had to protect ourselves from someone that was coming over to club us or something. What is emotion? Let's think a little bit about emotion. Emotion is, in everyday speech, a person's state of feeling in the sense of an affect. Scientific discourse has drifted to other meanings, and there is no consensus on a definition of what emotion is. This is a huge statement, because science has not even yet been able to clearly define emotions. The physiology of an emotion is closely linked to the arousal of the nervous system. The Meyer information says that emotions are lightning fast reactions to some sort of factor in the body or in the environment. Both anger and rage are considered emotions. And Billy has several interesting articles on anger. One of Billy's articles on anger is called Anger and Rage. Billy says that anger and rage are not the same thing. If you try to fight rage with rage, then it can lead to very devastating results. What does this Anger and Rage article say? Well, let me just pull up this link. I got some notes here, but sometimes I like to go back to the original article. What does Billy say about anger and rage? And this was written on, well, it was translated in 2012 on September 23rd. And Billy says here, due to ununderstanding, popularly, anger and rage are often put on the same level as each other. However, it thereby concerns two fundamentally different factors, which also have different manifestations and effects. And it must also be clear that anger cannot be fought and overcome with anger, and rage not with rage. However, if in regard to anger and rage, an attempt is nonetheless made to fight like with like, it usually leads to devastating results. So you don't fight anger with anger. So in any way, when you have anger, during the emergence of rage, feelings run out of control and emotions are allowed to run free. That's what the first thing we do, is we let our emotions run free, which is interesting. You know, I think feelings and emotions sometimes are outlets for the mighty thoughts that are not otherwise being applied as they should be, perhaps. This is just speculation. Perhaps this is the one difference between rage and anger. In rage, perhaps emotions do run free. Rage then must be met with love and feeling for others, as well as with kind-heartedness, dignity, peaceableness, an adequate high regard for the rights of fellow human beings can help to combat anger. You know, that's one thing I've noticed is that I don't stay angry. You know, I think I used to. And I think if you do stay angry, then that leads to health problems on your side. If you're harboring continuing anger, I think you're polluting your own self in a very, very dangerous way, in a way that can lead to all sorts of illnesses. Rage, then, must be met with love and feeling for others, as well as kind-heartedness, dignity, peaceableness. An adequate high regard for the rights of fellow human beings can help to combat anger. Rage is sometimes defined as violent, uncontrolled anger. The non-use of the intellect can lead to rage. From the Anger and Rage article, it says here, by definition, anger is a violent, uncontained outburst leading right up to fury. An uncontrollable wild thoughts and their feelings as well as emotions. So, anger harms the liver is another article that the Figu talked about. Marion Ulinger wrote an article about anger harming the liver. Maybe I'll try to read just a paragraph from this. I guess this was a woman that was very angry at her husband. And maybe she eventually had a health problem. Yeah, that Marianne talks about chemotherapy that she had to endure. So, boy, it's just, this is what I'll read to you in terms of anger. We want to prevent anger, meaning neither swallowing it nor letting it out, but not allowing it to develop at all, as is right and proper for a human being. But how can we manage this? What is Billy's secret? Actually, it is very simple, but difficult to put into action. Billy is strong and indestructible, for in himself he is full of love, peace, harmony, freedom, compassion, feelings for all creatures. We are able to learn as well, even if we will not reach relative perfection in this lifetime, by saying this to ourselves over and over again. And I have found this to be true. If you can repeat these things, remember when I said, I'm confident, I'm optimistic, I'm thankful, I'm cheerful, I'm relaxed, I'm enthusiastic. If you can say these things over and over again to yourself, this has happened. Here's another thing you can say. I am strong, I am indestructible, for in myself I am full of love, peace, freedom, harmony, and feelings / compassions for all creatures. Very, very interesting article, Anger Harms the Liver, by Marion Ulinger Mondrian, Switzerland. So let's talk a little bit about the creational natural laws, one of which is reincarnation. You know, we have a spirit form that resides in the middle of our brain in an area called the superior colliculus. And the spirit form, you could think of in many ways as the real you. It will never die. It's never harmed by anything in the material world. It's neutral positive, and it always remains neutral positive. So even if you have an emotional breakdown in your material consciousness, your spirit form is always living according to the law of love. It's always in a state of harmony. It has a neutral positive balance. There are certain laws of creation, the first of which is the law of love, effective love, then the law of striving, the fundamental law of all evolution, where your level of striving produces your level of satisfaction in life. We strive not only to achieve goals, but you will find that when you strive, there's a satisfaction that comes from striving. But we, in our wrong thinking, do not look at it that way. We have the law of harmony, which is this neutral, positive state of thinking. We also have the law of prosperity and abundance. Now, every life form, and therefore also the human being, has everything in plentiful abundance in order to live and evolve. Now, the reason that there's a lot of reasons why people get in a state where they don't have prosperity and abundance. It's because they haven't been striving. It's because they don't have the law of harmony. They haven't lived by the law of love. Also, people sometimes have very big challenges that occur in their life that require sometimes a short time where one of these laws plays a huge role. Like, you may have to work 70 plus hours a week for a period in your life to achieve some goal. So sometimes you have to undergo certain difficulties and hardships. This seems to be part of life. So anyway, we have this spirit form in us. It is analogous in some ways to this, what's called the creational spirit energy, which is interweaving throughout the entire universe. The entire universe, the universal consciousness, is laced with this creation spirit energy. And it's an intelligence of its very own. Now, so the creative spirit energy is an intelligence of its own, but it's an intelligence that's not likened to our intelligence. This creational spirit energy has the intelligence that brings forth life forms, that brings forth matter. So humans, animals, creatures like microbes and bacteria all have this spirit energy. Another term for our spirit form is the Geist form. It's a minute part piece of the universal consciousness. It animates our physical body. It causes our heart to beat. And the spirit comes into the body 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. The spirit is like as small as a needle point. Its energy is enormous and spreads out like a web over all parts of the human body, inside and out. And when we die, this spirit energy leaves the body, but it remains for 3 hours, the residual spirit energy. And that's why you can have organ donations during that time. Now, Semyase said some really interesting things about the spirit form. Semyase had contacts with Billy. Contact report 10 occurred on March 26, 1975 at about 3:20 p.m. Semyase would land her ship, and Billy would come over and talk with Semyase. She was 344 years old at the time of the contacts, 5'5". She was a slender, young, pretty woman. Young for them is 344 years. She had blue eyes, light blonde hair. And unfortunately, Billy's contacts with her were cut short. But she said some interesting things about the spirit. She said that the human bears is a spirit that does not die nor sleep during the deepest sleep. It records all thoughts and motions. It informs the human whether his thoughts are correct or false if he has learned to pay attention. And the human within the spirit is the bearer of the creative realm. Every human has a spirit. So we have the spirit form and then the material consciousness or the material intellect. What did Semyonsa have to say about the material intellect? Well, in Contact Report 11, she said, in the non-creational thinking human being, the material intellect and all its given limitations takes the highest place and thereby has a consequently a tremendously slow development of the spirit and the consciousness. So that's our problem. The material consciousness takes up too much emphasis. The material intellect accepts the testimony of the material senses and the resulting conclusions, but it rejects our deepest intuitions. So we have deep intuitions that come to us from our, because of our spirit form. And let me read here what it says here in Contact Report 11. Deep insight reveals to the human being the knowledge that there is something more to him than what his usual consciousness mediates to him. Something that is the source of all thoughts, perceptions, and feelings. A finer consciousness related in spiritual presence, which always leaves him unsatisfied with merely material efforts. The doctrine that the usual material state of the human being is not the real and final stage of life. This is hard for us to understand, I think. That he has a deeper, more penetrating life in life itself, a true self, an immortal spirit, a light that can never be extinguished by anything, has occupied the thinkers of all times and all universes across all great times over and over again. All great thinkers of all universes raise the unanimous demand over and over again to become acquainted with the real self, the real life of life itself. So our real self is related to our spiritual consciousness. The body, the bodily organism, changes each moment, and thoughts surge up like gusts of wind and disappear again. The real spiritual self is never lost. It permeates absolutely everything, even though it is fundamentally different from everything, for its form is purely spiritual. It is the basic source of all perceptions of identity through countless transformations. It takes up in any manner and form all things into itself, and yet always remains itself, unchangeable, and in the eternal symmetry of its own size. It is an invariable size within the manifold activities of the universe and universes in general. The human restricted personality is only conscious from time to time. In between, there are large gaps in consciousness. But even when death reaches the human being, the seer and the recognizer in him, the spirit, cannot die, for as a fragment of the creation, it is of eternal duration. Like also the overall consciousness block. On the objective side, nothing can touch the observant subjective self. This self, existing for eternal times, which is the life of life itself, cannot be proven materially because it is a purely spiritual form in nature. But it requires no proof for a rational being because the spirit itself is its own proof. Hence, only beings living in poverty of consciousness demand proofs for the existence of the spirit. For in their primitive thinking, they cannot recognize its own existence from the spiritual acts and occurrences. The spirit itself is the basic foundation of any knowledgeable process. And the spirit itself animates every organ and every capability, and to be sure, out of the drive for development and for the existence of life. And the spirit, this universal self, is confused with the empirical self as a result of mental impurities. When a human being breaks through the veil surrounding his self and removes the shrouds of the material urge that restrict and cover it, he constantly acquires in the physical body the determination of his being. The inner spiritual being, the life of life itself, which is infinitely simple and uncomplicated, forms a unity of transcendental reality. Cognition, knowledge, wisdom, love, and freedom. The human being is not a mere biological phenomenon. In him also, a small part of the fine material conditioned psychological organism, spiritual form, which is loaded with latent potentialities and the might of all creational forces. Well, maybe we'll look at this in more length at another day. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I've enjoyed bringing it to you today very much. You've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.